Lauschen, die Radiosendung von Mur.at.
Hello and welcome to Netzrauschen, the broadcast from Mur.at, where we cover topics related to digital society, media art and net politics. In this edition with me, Andreas Zingele, I am visiting the Speculum Artium Festival in Trebolje, Slovenia, which happened late September. We broadcast Tuesdays every other week from 10 to 10:30 here on Radio Helsinki. All informations regarding the broadcasts and further links to our guests you can find as usual on helsinki.at. Past episodes become part of the podcast archive that you can download at netzrauschen.mur.at. The 13th edition of the Speculum Artium New Media Festival intertwines past realizations with current events and visions of a distant future. This year, the festival outgrew itself and was undergoing a transformation in regard to its content and representation. The festival program focused on five basic topics: art, technology, science, economy, and tourism. It is the aim to intertwine and interconnect them even more in the future. In the past few years, the revolution of digitalization and the proliferation of online and digital content in all sectors and in all areas of activity have brought together civil society, academia, the public sector, and the economy. The Speculum Artium Festival also reflects these changes and connections. Under the spotlight this year, we find the Senster, the oldest cybernetic computer-controlled sculpture, which dates back to 1970, and can be placed into the artistic and historical context of the first beginnings of intermedia and contemporary art. Along with Senster, the first thematic set also includes works of art selected in a public contest. The second set is a collection of works from the student competition program, while the third presents projects designed under the brand Made in Trebolje and includes a presentation of activities carried out within the project RUC, Network of Art and Cultural Research Centers, as well as some other local projects. The independent set comprises the 11th edition of Digital Big Screen, an international festival of video art, which, in addition to the videos selected in a public contest, also includes several other artistic VR projects. Since me and Linda presented our installation Suspicious Behavior, we had a chance to travel there and see the festival. I took the opportunity to wander through the exhibition and interview visitors, artists and organizers of the program. The interviews were pre-recorded in the exhibition space or in the streets of Trebolje, so I already apologize for the sound quality. Still, I hope you enjoy our program. First, we start with an interview of DDT Lab crew member on the drawing automata installation that they developed in close cooperation with the artist duo Barbara and Mar.
Here at Speculum Artium, here at the Data Lab, we have two installations. Both of the installations we worked with the group called Varvara and Mar, which are a art science group, and we developed with them a software program that allows us to take a picture of our guests. The program then transforms the picture into a line drawing, and then the line drawing is sent directly to either the small Jaskawa robotic arm or the bigger Jaskawa robotic arm. And then the arm draws out the whole picture.
And what is the difference between, like, they are different sizes, these robotic arms, but What is the difference, what they draw or how long they take?
So the difference isn't only in the size of the arm. The difference is also in what it draws. So at a basic level, it's still, at both arms, they still do a portrait drawing, but with a bigger arm. You also take a picture with our small robot, humanoid robot called Eva. And in that project, you basically ask Eva a question. Eva answers your question. And then when we take the photo, the program basically combines all of the questions into a comic book. So you see speech bubbles, and in that speech bubble you have your question to Eva, and then Eva's answer. And then it combines all of the pictures together, and it creates a comic book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what kind of questions do people ask?
So usually the most common questions are just simple hellos. They also ask what is her name, how she's doing. And for example, if they come in the morning, they ask good morning and stuff like that. And Eva answers all of these questions.
Mm-hmm. And is Eva like an algorithmic bot or?
Yes. So Eva's answers are based on her artificial intelligence, which was made by Mar from the group that I mentioned earlier, Ranvara and Mar. And they just combined their bot called Ena that they made. And they combined it with our Eva. So they combined their project and we combined our project together. And that's how they generated the answers.
Mm-hmm. And because you say our project, what was your part in this project?
Yes.
Or what are you working on?
Yes. So basically our part in DDT Lab was combining our knowledge of Yaskawa systems, which Mar and Varvara didn't have before. And we combined our knowledge of the Yaskawa systems and their knowledge, their vast knowledge of programming and other arts. And we combined that to create these projects. Also, we also have some knowledge about programming, and we just combined all of our skills together and we made these projects.
Mm-hmm. And these robotic arms, are they part of your lab or did you get them as a sponsorship for this exhibition now?
Yes, so the smaller Yaskawa arm is owned by us in DDT Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And because we collaborate with Yaskawa company so much, they actually lent us the bigger arm just for this festival. So then we just adjusted our program so that they also work on the bigger arm.
Okay. I would be still very interested to hear a bit more about the DDT Lab that you were talking about.
Like, yes.
When was it funded? How many people work there? What is your position there?
Yes. So DDT Lab is basically a kind of like a project from the... We are funded by the European Union, and we use our funding to create different technologies which are used to... we kind of combine different technologies together. So for example, as the projects here, we combine the Yaskawa arms in a way that they aren't used normally. So normally the industrial arms are used, as I said, in the industry, in manufacturing companies and stuff like that. And we wanted to use the arms in a more creative way. Because one of the main reasons in our lab is we call it creative robotics. So we use normal robotics in more creative ways. We want to humanize technology and expose people to different technologies that aren't available to them normally. So for example, here in Trebolia, people are only exposed to this technology at festivals like this, but not in their everyday life. And that was kind of the goal, to expose the normal audiences to stuff like this. Because we also work a lot of brain-computer interfaces, and that technology is still very DIY. It's still very under development. And we created a couple of projects with BCI headsets. So for example, we could control the previously mentioned Eva robot. We can also control the Yaskawa robotic arm with the BCI. So with our mind, basically, we could control. So these are the main projects. We have three labs, the VR and AR lab. We have a couple projects there. We have the robotics projects, which are the Yaskawa arm and the robot Eva, and the BCI lab, which are BCI projects.
Yeah. And you were first mentioning the VR lab that you have.
Yes.
What are you doing there? Is this also some of the installations that we can see here? Or is this totally different?
For our installations here, it's only the Yaskawa arm, so only robotics.
Mm-hmm.
But for VR, we have a couple of different projects. One project is, so here in Trebolia, we have the largest CIRMI in Europe.
Mm.
And we we made a collaboration with the stunt group called Dunking Devils, and they actually climbed up on the chimney. And with them, we basically made a VR video. So you can put in the VR goggles and you can join them on the whole climb to the chimney. Mm-hmm. We also have a project where we lent our equipment up. Where we lent our equipment to Tomo Krishnar. And he is basically an explorer. He documents people in Africa. And he went to numerous tribes. And we made possible a VR video through that. So you can see his adventures through the VR goggles. And for the AR technologies, we have a project with the local mine, because Terbole was once a very mining town. And with this is a project that basically with our phone, we can go through numerous posters and the posters come alive in 3D. That's also one of the AR projects. And also the music group Laibach, which is very popular in Zasavia and around the world in general. We also made a project with them in which we basically animated their posters. So we can go with our phone through their posters and then the posters will come alive with 3D models through the phone. Mm-hmm. And these are the main projects for the AR.
Okay. I think one of the singers from Laibach is also from Trebolje, no?
Yes, I mean, Laibach is a Trebolje band.
Ah, okay, it's not just once. Okay, most of them are from here.
Yeah.
Will they have a concert during the festival also? I mean, they had in the past editions, no?
No, not this year, not this year. But they work a lot with Trebolje and all of our projects.
Yeah, cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Walking through the exhibition, I get to know Russian artist Nadia Bey with her VR work, Corporeality. I had a chance to talk with her outside the exhibition venue.
Okay, so hello, my name is Nadezhda Bey, or you can call me just Nadia. I am from Russia, St. Petersburg. So it's not typical for me to be here in European art festivals. Actually, it's my first big art festival outside of Russia. And I'm really happy to get here because it took us a lot of efforts to like work out all the visas, all the tickets. Like, it's really a big challenge for me. So to go somewhere out with my work. And I am a virtual reality artist, and in this festival I present the work called Corpo Irreality. So combining two words, corpo reality means something like connected with the body, with the physical body, and irreal, which is like a rare synonym of surreal or unreal. And combining these two phenomena, I make a VR scene, VR installation about how our bodies become digitalized and how maybe these digital beauty standards are affecting the bodies, and that maybe in the future they will not have so much effect on us because the body becomes more fluid and its shape is not so much defined by physical appearance anymore, but rather than the digital structure that it exists in. So it's not my first VR experience because I've been working with VR for around 2 years. But typically I am an artist who makes paintings in VR. It's as if you could imagine, say, Monet painting, but you can walk inside of it. So I redraw them with my hands using the applications for VR drawing. And I make like hand-painted pictures, but in VR, like small VR scenes that you can imagine. And sometimes also do this art, more like a serious artistic research on like actual problems like this one with digitality and body. And for now, I am like, aside of being just artist, I also study at Art and Science Center at ITMO University in St. Petersburg. This is very young center. It's about 3 or 4 years old. And the case is that our university is just technical university originally. So it's a university for IT guys, for those who work with physics, optics, mechanics, and so on. And the this step that the university made towards art was very was crucial, because they finally rethought a lot about education, and they added a lot to the cultural side of it. So they accept people with all background, and they give them more artistic understanding of what they can do and how they can use their technical skills. Or if the artist comes and enters the program, how they can use technical like equipment, and how they can work with maybe bio art, with chemicals, with digital structures, and so on.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. And so, talking about the technicalities, what kind of programs or setups do you use to create your VR environments?
So the main thing that I need as a VR artist, I use a VR headset. So my headset is Oculus Quest 2. Before that, I used Quest 1 and HTC Vive, but Quest 2 seems to be more convenient than others because it's like standalone, but can also be plugged and connected to a PC, and use some external power of PC to make more complicated works. As for applications, I used TiltBrush, which is now more known as OpenBrush because it's like becoming open source. And sometimes I also use Gravity Sketch and Adobe Medium. And well, there are some other apps, but mostly I use like TiltBrush or OpenBrush. It's one of the simplest and one of the like most flexible, I'd say. Yeah, so that's it.
Okay, I found it quite interesting about the festival that there are a lot of VR and 360 degree works shown. Do you think that this will be the next step of showing media art, that it's a lot will be shown in these VR environments?
Well, 360 videos are good for some purposes, but not for all purposes. So it's just, I think that why it's used so widely is the simplicity of maybe the process. Like you only need the camera, and then you record your video, your 360 video, like on camera, and just show it in VR. But I think that more projects in the future will be working with like made, say, in Unity or Unreal Engine, like on some other engines, because VR needs to be more maybe interactive or more like our physical world, where you can walk, where you can see things from different sides and not only from just one place where you can sit. But it takes a lot more efforts from artists, and that is why people who need to work with VR and who want to do this, they either have to collaborate a lot with technical specialists, or they have to learn these techniques by themselves. For example, like this VR drawing, it's absolutely possible to learn by yourself.
And become a specialist yourself in a way to do your works. My last question would be, what are you now working on? You have shown now two works here, and what are your next steps or your next ideas? Do you have something?
For now, like in St. Petersburg where I live, we starting a kind of a company that is supposed to drive this VR theme forward and to involve more people into it. For example, we invite artists who worked just with like usual techniques of drawing or painting, and we teach them to work with virtual reality so that they can apply their skills to something more like difficult and technical like spheres. And sometimes I also produce the scenes for like companies on demand, on order. So I work in many directions simultaneously and trying to develop like things that are completely made for, say, social media and entertainment, also some serious art projects and some like corporate. So there are lots of plans, but I need more time for that.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Back in the exhibition again, I talk to info trainer Hanna, who explains me the private garden installation. A big bed with a projection from the ceiling showing different traditional Chinese garden paintings. So this work is from a Chinese artist?
Xuanzu.
Okay, yeah, private garden.
Private garden, yes. So yeah, welcome to our Oasis of Peace. So last year when the pandemic hit us all, the author actually noticed that she spent a lot of time at home, of course, as we all did, in her own bed. That's where she worked, that's where she ate, and also she spent a lot of time there. So that's how she came up with this connection between the garden and her own bed, because they both like give you some sort of like relaxation, you know, some sort of like spiritual, you know, guidance, I guess, almost in a way. But yeah, relaxation, let's stay with that. So that's how she came up with this wonderful project. The interesting thing is when everything, you know, stays still, if you're still when you're on the bed, then he's just gonna show you one picture, the one garden. Also, you're gonna hear the background noises like birds and everything, you know, as if you were actually in your own garden. But when you start to move, then everything blurs out and all of the pictures just kind of like transform into one another, I guess you could almost say. Also, you lose the background noises, which in my opinion is so cool because you can almost like picture it, you know? You can almost like picture that, oh yeah, I'm in the garden, I'm making noise, so of course I'm not gonna hear the birds anymore. But yeah, that's kind of like my own interpretation of everything.
Okay.
Now you have to try.
So I see a bed here, and there is a projection from the top,
exactly,
from the ceiling.
Uh-huh.
And on the projection, I see it looks.
But all of these pictures that you see are traditional Chinese gardens. There's like over 4,000 of them. At least that's what I heard. So yeah, the projection just puts the picture on the bed, I guess you could almost say. Mm. And with your movement, the picture changes.
Okay, so I'm gonna.
So when you start to move, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna try it out now.
Yes.
To lie down, maximum one person, okay?
Yes. So you're supposed to take off your shoes because it's not sanitary. Get in the bed and just, you know, move around. And also, just one person only.
Sure. So, yeah. Thank you.
The two of you can go on there together. I'm sorry. And by the way, the bed is super comfortable.
It's an air bed, okay. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, but if I don't have the screen on the side, mm-hmm. I don't really see all these different images from gardens.
Yeah, that's why the screen is there, you can actually see what's going on.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
In my opinion, it would help even more if like this whole room was in total darkness, like total pitch darkness, and if you didn't have like any outside noises maybe. Mm. I think that would even make like this experience even more genuine, I guess.
Yeah.
But even as it is like right now, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all from my part.
On the second day, I could still get a hold of two artists who created the installation called Power Strangers. Both are students at Interface Cultures Department in Linz, and Barbara Jasbeck is also the curator of the 360 degree big screen program.
My name is Christina Tizza, next to me is Barbara Jasbeck. We're both authors of project called Power Strangers. It's an interactive, real-time video and audio installation consisting of a web camera, projector, and a water tank filled with reactive slime. When you approach the installation, there is a camera that detects your face for a software, custom-made software done by Jean Reichek. And then it saves your face. And after the spectator is actually stepping away from the installation, their face appears on the mask that is in the tank and becomes visible as this ghost that is trapped inside. We were referring to like B-horror, retro-futuristic aesthetics as part of sort of our pop culture of our generation. And also we decided to go for a title, Power Strangers. There's a reference to Power Rangers, which is also another cult TV series from when we were growing up. The context that we were, or the message that we were trying to send through that, is also that if we're talking about ghosts, they don't come from a haunted house anymore. We're talking about the ghosts that exist in the world of data, the digital traces that we leave behind, and we're pretty much not aware of their existence anymore. It's like even like a form of material garbage that we're used to just throw away or like consume and leave a lot of waste behind us. This waste is also immaterial, but still existent, and it might be able to haunt you back at some point. And for this world of data, it feeds on us, it's dependent on us. So we are its power rangers, we generate its power. And therefore, we should also become more aware of the agency and the effect that we have and the impact that we have on that world.
Yeah, and the whole name idea actually came with the TV show Power Rangers, and we didn't want to just refer to the Power Rangers, the title and the story, but we were the generation who were growing up in the 90s, and we grew up without the internet. So we also wanted to refer with the name to that problem that today a lot of teenagers grow up and they post everything online and they don't know where that digital ghost is going. So we were trying also on a more playful